Adventures in Odyssey.
Every story has to start someplace. It might begin with the classic Once Upon a Time, or maybe a more exotic In a Land Far, Far Away. This one, though, started in a pretty average way. It was once upon a school day in a lunchroom just down the hall.
And faced with the evidence Emily and I gathered, Dion knew he'd been snagged.
Dale Jacobs wrote an article about it for the Odyssey Times. Did you see it, Buck?
No, I didn't.
It was on page 15, below the obituaries and beside the weekly specials ad for Wilbur's Deli.
It was page 13, Matthew. That's an important page. It comes right before the farm commodities section.
Wow. Well, you sure are good at this stuff. I wish I had the brains to put together clues and solve mysteries like you do.
Oh, well, thanks, Buck. It just comes down to, you know, paying attention and, details and stuff.
And hey, the con jobs you and that Mr. Skint did, that's what you call the things you did, right?
Yeah.
Those must have taken a lot of brain power, too.
I don't know. It's a whole lot different, I think.
Still, if you consider how much planning it takes to...
Look, I guess I better get going.
Wait, is something wrong?
No, it's just that... The truth is, cons rely on people's greed and selfishness most of the time. You don't have to be smart. You just need to know how ugly folks can get. Being good at it is nothing I take pride in. I'll tell you that much.
Sorry if I said the wrong thing.
No, it's okay. I just don't want to be thought of as that guy anymore. I'd rather be just an average kid, help folks out if I can. That sort of thing. Anyway, I better go. Miss Katrina has chores for me. See ya.
Bye, Buck.
Bye.
Oh, I hope he's all right.
Oh, I'm sure your heartthrob will be just fine.
What? Don't be silly. He's not my heartthrob.
Oh, thanks, Buck.
Fine. He might be a palpitation or a minor heart murmur, but nothing more.
Girls.
Little did Matthew and I realize that our conversation with Buck would play a key role in our next mystery. A mystery that required the use of a tried-and-true detective's tool. The late-night window knock.
Emily, what are you doing here? In case you didn't realize it, people often sleep at this hour.
The criminals aren't sleeping. Did you hear about the robbery?
Robbery?
Yep, at Casey's convenience super shop. My dad got a call from someone he works with at the courthouse who told him all about it. I was able to get a few details out of him before he told me to get to bed.
Oh, so this is just you sleepwalking?
No, you know I can't sleep on a full brain. Besides, my dad would understand me sneaking out. He gets me.
Well, that makes one of us.
Anyway, after the thief got away with an armload of stuff, the store clerk walked outside and found all the stolen items stacked neatly on the curb.
It was all there?
Yes, every bit. Weird, huh? The police couldn't find the thief or any reason that the stolen goods were left there. They're baffled. And, well, solving something baffling is what we do best.
Yeah, we should put that on our business card.
So let's go.
Now?
No, silly. I need some sleep. I'll be here at 6. See ya.
6? As in a.m.?
Yep. I want to get there before the night shift clerk leaves. Bye.
I'm glad her dad gets her. I wish her dad would keep her.
Okay, we approach the clerk and act like a couple of average kids wanting help with something.
Why not just ask him about the robbery?
He might clam up. He looks a bit clammish.
You think so?
Definitely. So let's just ease the information out of him. Be subtle.
Subtle. Right.
Let's go. You take point.
Excuse me? Could you help me with
Did you guys hear? I got robbed last night. It was so awesome. I wrote an online e-novel about this exact sort of thing once, but it was with Japanese robot monkeys and a time machine. It was crazy.
You were robbed?
Yeah. It was so wild! Like, I was in a movie. The guy was even wearing one of those Japanese kabuki masks. I've only seen one like it in pictures at Comic-Connellsville. It was intense.
A mask? So you don't know what the robber looks like?
Nah, he was just an average kind of guy in a hoodie with a jacket over it and an intense kabuki mask.
That must have been pretty scary.
Yeah, it was! Are you guys gonna try and catch him?
What?
You're those kid detectives, right? I saw your picture in the paper. Don't play dumb with me. That's a game you can't win.
Yep, that's us. We were just being subtle. So what happened after he grabbed the stuff?
He left.
Well, that's helpful. So his arms were full and he moved to the door like this.
Well, kinda. Only his shoes didn't squeak like that.
But how did he pull the door open if his arms were full? Did he push it open with his back like this?
More like with his shoulder. I was gonna help him open it, but I wasn't sure what the robbery protocol was. Then he walked outside and I heard some garbage cans fall over.
So he pushed it like this.
Hold it, Emily. Your coat's caught.
Oh, thanks.
Wait! Oh, I just remembered something.
What?
When the Kabuki guy was going out, his jacket caught on the corner of that door handle just like yours. I remember now because I heard something rip.
Really? Look around, Matthew. See if anything tore loose.
Got it.
Did you tell the police about this?
Oh, I probably shoulda, huh? Man, I can only get one part of my head working at a time when I'm excited, and usually it's my mouth.
I found something. It was under the hot dog oven. It's a piece of fabric.
That's from his coat. It's the same material, I'm telling you. Oh, man, this is so like a movie. Are you gonna take that and analyze it for DNA evidence?
Even better. We're gonna take it to Detective Poolhouse. The relationship between detectives like Matthew and me and police officers like Detective Poolhouse is often fraught with distrust and suspicion. But that wasn't the case this time. Detective Poolhouse was very grateful for the lead that our fabric clue provided.
Thanks. Though I think I'll demote my guys to walking the beat for missing such an obvious clue.
Well, it was under the hot dog oven.
It's a unique fabric blend. It matches a coat that my father has.
You think your father robbed the convenience store?
Of course not. I hope not. Anyway, Matthew did a little research on the fabric. Matthew?
It's a special weave that was made for a local shop called Grimbley's Clothiers.
Yes, I know of it. Went out of business a few years back.
Right.
And?
Well, that's all we know, for now.
Okay, then, thank you, and...
Oh, wait, one more thing.
There's always one more thing.
We were thinking there might have been a struggle out in front of the store.
Because of the coat?
No, the overturned trash can.
That might have been why the merchandise was left behind.
Someone might have tried to stop the thief, like a passing citizen who witnessed the robbery.
It would make sense, then, that the trash can was knocked over. And if the good guy wrestled the things out of the crook's hands, the thief would naturally run off.
And then the hero might have stacked the goods up and gone his own way. Like, say if he didn't want to talk to the police for some reason.
Put all that together on your own. Well, congratulations on your gold medal in the conclusion jump.
Huh?
Look, I know you two like to go around solving middle school mysteries. And I do appreciate your bringing this fabric to my attention. But a convenience store robbery is police work.
So, you're telling us not to investigate this?
No. I'm simply suggesting you stay out of trouble and let us do our job. The truth always comes out eventually. We'll catch the bad guys.
I wondered what Detective Poolhouse was really saying. Was he telling us to stop investigating, or was he subtly encouraging us to keep going? I couldn't decide. Lack of decision-making ability usually means I need food. So Matthew and I went to Jenkins Market for a snack. Do you want almonds or walnuts? They're both good brain food.
I want a burger.
A burger will not help you think, Matthew.
Who cares? We're at a dead end anyway.
No, we're stalled. There's a big difference.
Emily, the only way we could even test our very weak theory is if we could see the robber in action. And what are the chances of...
You heard me. This is a robbery. Stop stalling and hand me that box.
You've got to be kidding me.
Just calm down.
Hurry it up, old man.
Look, yes, sir. That guy is wearing
a kabuki mask.
Out of my way, lady.
Hey.
Come on, Matthew.
Oh, my.
Mr. Jenkins, are you all right?
Oh, yes, I'm fine. But that had my heart going a mile a minute. Never been robbed before.
Was it a palpitation or a murmur? Because Emily knows all about murmuring.
Okay, maybe you should sit down, Mr. Jenkins. Matthew can call the police from someplace far away.
No need. I already hit the button right there by the cash register. They should be on their way.
How much money did he take?
Well, none.
What?
He wanted 3 toaster ovens. Why would a thief want that? A person can only eat so many frozen waffles.
Did you see that?
Huh?
That guy stopped that awful thief. Tackled him right out of nowhere. What a hero.
What? Who?
The man with the ball cap. He stopped the thief from taking Mr. Jenkins' merchandise. Huh. It's all piled up out front.
You're kidding.
Did you get a good look at the guy, ma'am?
I can't say that I did. He had his back to me, which makes sense, because he was running away.
This fits our weak but getting stronger theory to a T, doesn't it, Em?
It certainly does. The problem was, everything seemed a little too perfect. I mean, what are the odds that two robberies in a row would wind up both being foiled in the exact same way? People started calling the guy who stopped him the ball cap hero. But it struck me as more than a little curious that he would coincidentally be present for every single robbery. Was he following the crook? And why did the thief always grab boxes of stuff instead of cash, like most robbers would? I was still pondering these questions the next day when Matthew came up to me in the school cafeteria.
Hey, Em.
Oh, hi, Matthew.
You're still thinking about the case, aren't you?
Yeah.
Ooh, fries. Can I have one?
Sure. Do you think the ball cap hero knows who the thief is? That could be why he's at every robbery?
I suppose it's possible. But if he did, wouldn't he just go to the police with the information? Mind if I have another fry?
Sure. I just wish I could figure out a little more about this ball cap guy. It's like both he and the robber are total enigmas.
Ooh, good word.
Thanks. And yes, you can have another fry. Have as many as you want. It's not like you need an invitation.
Hey, I work better on partially hydrogenated oils. Besides, I figure your fries are just my fries on the wrong plate.
Uh-huh.
And because you're sharing so willingly, I have just the thing you're looking for. Did you see yesterday's paper?
No, and I haven't had my cup of coffee yet either.
You're funny. Look here in the letters to the editor. This one, it's from BCH.
BCH?
Ball Cap Hero. He wrote in to explain why he hasn't stepped forward. He says he doesn't want any attention. He just wants to be a good citizen. Read that last part.
I, too, was once a victim of theft. It was a horrible experience that caused me to lose everything I had built for myself. So I've made it my mission to stop this kind of crime in its tracks. He sounds like a pretty nice guy.
Reading between the lines, I was thinking it sounds like a clue.
What do you mean?
Well, if he lost everything he had built for himself, that could mean someone stole his life savings, maybe.
Hmm. Or he might have lost his business.
Yeah. Oh, and speaking of which, you know that woman we met at Jenkins Market?
Jan Waldrop?
Right. She wrote a letter to the editor, too. It was in today's paper. Right? There.
After hearing that the mystery hero had lost everything, I, along with several other civic-minded citizens, have set up an online donation page for this modern-day hero. Huh. Well, that's sweet of her. Who knows? Maybe this will bring BCD out of hiding.
BCH. It hasn't yet. Well, I've got to run. Let's meet up after school. I've been working on a theory. There's someplace I want to take you. And I'm thinking it could blow this case wide open.
Would you please tell me where we're going?
I stopped by the computer lab for a little research, and I found that 10 businesses went belly up in Odyssey over the last 5 years.
Interesting. But so what?
Of those 10, 2 of them had been robbed.
Did the robberies put them out of business?
Seems so. One of the guys had his entire inventory stolen, and since he didn't have insurance, he had to shut down.
Wow, that's terrible.
And that particular victim still lives in Odyssey. In fact, he lives in that house.
And you think it's related? What's the guy's name?
You're going to say, no way.
I am? What's the name?
You seriously aren't going to believe it.
Matthew!
Arthur Grimbley of Grimbley's Clothiers.
No way.
I told you you wouldn't believe it.
Sleuthing, Matthew. But what are you going to ask him?
I don't know. But don't you think it's worth it to at least meet Mr. Grimbley face to face?
I guess we'll find out in a few minutes.
Yes?
Hello.
Hello.
You're Mr. Grimbley.
I am. What can I do for you?
Oh, my dad has a coat from your store that he bought a few years back.
Oh, well, if you're looking for alterations, I'm afraid I'm not in that business anymore.
Oh, that's too bad. That must have been difficult. Losing your store, I mean.
Yes, it... How did you know that I lost my store?
Boy, it sure is sunny out here. I hate having to squint up at you.
Excuse me?
Do you happen to have any ball caps I could use?
What? I already told you. I don't sell clothes anymore. I'm sorry, I can't help you. Goodbye.
Do you happen to have any ball caps?
I had to get it in there. And it's not like you came up with any better ideas.
It doesn't matter. This guy didn't strike me as someone who would tackle a crook in the street anyway.
So it's back to the drawing board. A mysterious ball cap hero. Some average guy who wants to help people. That's not a lot to work with.
Hold it. What did you just say?
I said we don't have much to work with.
No. Before that, you said he's an average guy who wants to help people.
So?
Matthew, I think I may know who the ball cap hero is. Come on!
You think I'm who?
Don't be coy. The ball cap hero. The one who's been thwarting all these robberies.
Me.
Well, you did say that you wanted to help people out and that you felt bad about the things you and Mr. Skint did, right?
That's a nice theory, Emily, but sorry, it's not me.
Which you would say even if you were the BCH.
BCH?
Ball cap hero, but I'm still not convinced. You generally wear a ball cap.
Yeah, as do lots of people. I'm more of a mow-your-yard kind of helper, not a beat-up random bad guy's helper.
Great, another dead end.
Oh.
You know... There was one idea I was going to talk to you guys about, but then it kind of fell apart.
What was it?
Well, I was thinking that those robberies kind of sounded like a scam.
A scam?
Uh-huh. Mr. Skint used to call it the Good Samaritan scam.
Go on.
It usually involved two con men. One would grab somebody's purse or something, and the other, pretending he was an average Joe, would take after the robber and get the purse back. The mugger, of course, always gets away.
So then the second con man could what? Get a reward?
Exactly. And if they played it right, the hero might make more reward money than they would have gotten if they stole the purse.
That could fit this case. The BCH always foils the robbery, and everything that's been stolen is recovered.
And no cash is stolen, just merchandise.
That's what I was thinking. And they wouldn't want cash in this case because...
The police would get more involved. Which they don't, because technically no merchandise is ever lost. It's conveniently left on the curb.
Yeah.
And there is an online site taking donations to reward the ball cap hero.
But in this case, the good guy is anonymous. He hasn't asked for a reward.
Yeah, that's where my theory kind of falls apart. And that's why I decided not to even bother you guys with it. Emily, you look like the cat that swallowed the mouse. What is it?
Ah, I know that look. Give her a second. She's processing data.
Buck had given me the clue that made all the pieces slip into place. But proving my theory would require the assistance of Detective Polehouse. Thankfully, he saw the genius of my plan immediately. Well, after a little convincing anyway.
You wanted to see me, Detective?
Ah, Miss Waldrop. Yes. Come in. Have a seat, please.
Thank you. How can I help you?
You were the one who set up that ball cap hero fund, right?
Yes, I was.
Well, we've had a break in the case. I thought you'd be interested in knowing about it.
A break?
Yes. Sally, send them in, please.
Will do.
This won't take very long, I hope. I have a very busy schedule today.
Not long at all.
Detective?
Ah, come in. Miss Waldrop, I believe you know Emily and Matthew.
Hi.
Hi.
Yes, we've met.
And this is Buck Oliver.
Hello.
How do you do?
Turns out that this young man is the ball cap hero. Emily and Matthew are my junior detectives on the case and helped me locate him. Anyway, we just need to get the account information for the online donation site from you so we can give this young man his reward money. He certainly deserves it.
Well, I'm not sure that...
I'm sorry it's taken me so long to step forward, Detective.
No problem, Mr. Oliver.
I don't think this is right. I saw the ball cap hero, and it wasn't him. The man was taller and older than this young man.
Miss Waldrop, according to your statement here, it was dark out, you were at a distance, and you never saw the man's face at the grocery store incident. Isn't that what you told me?
Well, yes.
Sally... Could you send the other gentleman in now, please?
Yes, sir.
Can this young man prove he's the hero? I'd hate to give the money to the wrong person. I mean, anyone could say they were the one.
Very true.
Hello?
Mr. Grimley, come in.
Can I ask what this is about?
Yes, what is going on?
Do you two know each other?
No.
Yes.
Yes.
No.
Should I take that as a maybe?
I should clarify, it's not that we actually know each other.
He's the ball cap hero.
What's that?
This man. I followed him after the last robbery and found out this is the man with the ball cap. Arthur, Mr. Grimley, tell him the truth.
Yes, Arthur. Tell me the truth.
I...
Are you the vigilante or not?
Vigilante? Stop. I'm no vigilante. I simply wanted to help people.
Sometimes your stutter gets worse when you're feeling stressed, doesn't it, Mr. Grimley? Oh, Emily, didn't you say that the thief at Jenkins Market had a stutter?
Yes, he did.
Now, wait.
How dare you? You're badgering him. Arthur, don't say another word.
You're right, Miss Waldrop. We should all stop talking so we can listen to what my junior detectives have to say. Emily, Matthew.
There never was a ball cap hero, was there? There was only Mr. Grimley, victim of a crime that ruined his life. Mr. Grimley is the thief and the hero.
What? Preposterous.
After taking the boxes from the stores, you left them behind, didn't you? That way you never actually stole anything, unlike the criminals who ruined your life.
Then you set up the donation site, Miss Waldrop, knowing that no one would ever come to collect the reward, since the BCH didn't really exist.
BCH?
Ball Cap Hero!
Oh.
And since you set up the site, you and Mr. Grimley could drain the account and slip off into the night whenever you wanted. No questions asked.
This is nonsense.
You can't prove any of this.
You're right. I can't.
Exactly.
Yet.
Yet?
Judge Jones issued a search warrant for your residence an hour ago, Mr. Grimley. My men should be there by now. Any chance they'll find a rare kabuki mask thereabouts?
And
maybe even a tweed coat with a rip in it that just happens to match this fabric found at the scene of the first crime?
I told you this wouldn't work, Jan.
I'd like to call my lawyer, please.
I think that would be a very good idea.
Exactly how it all played out. The police found the mask, Mr. Grimley and Mrs. Waldrop admitted their guilt, and the money was returned to all the Odyssey donors. The story even made the papers.
Page 2 this time.
Not bad for our little fledgling detective agency.
Mr. Whitaker said the case reminded him of Luke 12:2. There is nothing covered up that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known.
Or as my dad always says, there's no such thing as a secret. Anyway, Detective Polehouse thanked us for our help and suggested that we could graduate from finding lost comic books to locating missing puppies now.
Such a kidder.
I couldn't help thinking that we probably couldn't have cracked this case without Buck's help. We made a good team.
Yeah, he's pretty smart. Besides, you know what they say, you get more bang with a buck.
Oh, boy.
Throughout the Bible, we see stories of wicked people who thought they could get away with their evil plans. But again and again, their wickedness caught up to them, and their schemes were undone, just as we saw in today's adventure. As Christians, we know that there's really no such thing as getting away with sin, because God always knows the truth. Proverbs 5:22 says, "A wicked person will be trapped by their evil deeds and will be entangled by the ropes of their sin." If you've done something you shouldn't have done, go to the person you hurt and confess and apologize. Don't let your sin hold you captive one day longer. Adventures in Odyssey is a presentation of Focus on the Family. The Case of the Ball Cap Hero was written by Bob Hoos and directed by Dave Arnold, with sound design by Christopher Deal and music by John Campbell. Our cast included Christina Pacelli, Justin Fellbinger, Robbie Bruce, Phil Proctor, Darren Petty, Pat Music, and Aaron Fors. And I'm Chris, hoping you'll join us again next time for more Adventures in Odyssey.